I'm so appreciative of the Holy Spirit. I've learned this over the years that if it wouldn't be for the Holy Spirit, and I feel so bad about it because really, you know, you folks are fortunate. You sit under teaching and stuff in your lifetime and that stuff about these things. There's loads of Christians out here sitting in church don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. They know nothing. They don't know anything. They don't know about it. They don't know how he's working. And what's sad about that is the fact of I found out you have to yield to the Holy Spirit by faith just like you do to Jesus. He just don't do stuff just because you need something. You might need revelation and never get it. You can go to the Word. No, there's one thing. It's not, the Holy Spirit's the teacher in the earth. You know, Jesus ain't the teacher in the earth. The Holy Spirit is.
Amen.
And I always say, Holy Spirit, I'm thankful you do what Jesus said. You're going to take what belongs to Him. You're showing it to me.
Amen.
And I found out over the year, boy, that sure helps getting revelation. It helps getting understanding. So one thing is, you don't know Jesus very well if you don't know the Holy Spirit very well. It's that simple. He's a revealer of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, the more He reveals Jesus, the better it gets. Hallelujah. The more wonderful it gets. So rely on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We're teaching on the subject of, entitled it, Following the Law of Faith. And Romans 3:27, which says, where is the boasting then? It says it is excluded by what law? He asked the question, the law works? It says no, but by the law of faith. Faith is a law that is in operation. And dealing with this subject, while I was on vacation, woke up a number of nights on vacation, and I woke up during the night. And during the night, the Holy Spirit started talking to me about some things, and I knew I was supposed to minister on Sunday. So one of the things that see is learning to do this is how in faith and its operation. See, God will do for you what you allow Him to do for you. See, some people never, they just think God will do something. I just sort of pray and ask. One thing is I did some years ago. I told the Lord this. I said, I'm giving you permission that you can wake me up in the nighttime if you have something you need to be prayed for, or if there's something, you need to speak to me about something. I'll give you permission to do that. You see, I believe in a personal relationship. I don't believe what most people call a personal relationship. It ain't personal at all. Mm-hmm. God's always the initiator. I learned this. I'm the initiator. I initiate most things. I know a lot of things God wants to do, but He don't ever do them till I initiate. Mm-hmm. I learned this a long time ago. And so I have all the time I'm waking up at night. I do that. See, most people say, I need my 8 hours sleep. No, I need God. I need to hear from heaven. Hallelujah. It's amazing what it'll do for you. And so, the fact's woken up. One of the things He began to speak to me is about the law of faith. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to go over to some very unfamiliar scriptures. We're going to go to Mark 11:23. We're going to go over that area, but I want you to see this. I want to talk about it because He began to speak to me about this. I was thinking, you know this stuff? And then the Holy Spirit starts revealing you think, I ain't as bright as I thought it was. But there's things that He wants to bring across to us, especially in this time. I found this out over the years. It's very easy to become so familiar with something that after a while you have no appreciation of what it really is. The Bible says familiarity breeds contempt. And, you wonder how that contempt comes, because it doesn't come like people think. I remember at Rhema, when I was there in Bible school, when they would have winter Bible seminar and different things, seminars going on, and Brother Hagin would do, I heard students would do, they wouldn't attend. I had a guy tell me one time, I heard all that stuff taught already that he knows. See, familiarity had already built contempt in that man. And I found this out. Things didn't go well for him. He didn't realize he needed to be refreshed in things in what you go over. You can lose. I remember when I started first hearing the faith message, I got so darn excited about this thing. I just couldn't let things alone. I thought, this teaching on this thing, I had to find out about this stuff. Because they never taught this in the church I came from as a kid. And I sat in more services as a kid than most Pentecostals ever did. We sent in services all the time, but they never taught this stuff, man. They never taught us about the law of faith. They talked about faith. Talking about faith is an understanding of things. You can talk about a lot of stuff and not know nothing about it.
Amen.
And I just got really excited. But you know what? I found myself as I'd go along my walk as a Christian over the years, there's times you get those cool down periods. That ain't good. You know, and I found out God don't start a fire in you. You got to start your own fires. You got to get over. And I thought, yeah, you know, I need to get back over into this stuff, and I need to get back over here and feed. See, people are waiting on God. God do this for me. You know, God do that for me. God do, hey, if you ain't doing nothing. See, I learned a long time, and I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. I learned him being an initiator. I understood why he liked Smith Wigglesworth, because Smith Wigglesworth was really an initiator. He was a kind of man. He was just as bold as crazy, you know. He'd show up and everything's going wrong and he's talking like God's great and the world's going to change, and it would. He was just bold like that. He was bold. He would, and you know, I love to get around that. You want to get iron sharpens iron.
Amen.
You know? See, too many Christians aren't made of a metal. They're more plastic than they are iron.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know how you get to be, you get around people who got it. You know, one thing is, if I want to learn anything, I don't look to the people that know what I know. I look for people who know something I don't know.
Amen.
And I want to find out. I look, iron sharpens iron. You can find somebody, you want to come to another level, you're going to get it through somebody that's at that level. You won't get it from the person who's on the same level as you.
Amen.
You get from people what on earth they have. You know, you can, as scripture tells you, Jesus said, you know, you're going to go no further than your teacher. Mm-hmm. See, there's a demand. See, one thing is, I watched this as ministers over the years. There's ministers that used to feed me, can't feed me no more because they never go on.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God where they were with that. They helped me up to the point. But I started to realize I'm getting nothing from these people. Why? They ain't growing.
Mm-hmm.
Their ministry got nice. They got plenty of money in their pocket and things, and they're just staying where they are. But they're not growing up spiritually. And I thought, one thing is I learned, hey, you got to grow up. Now, that's not fun. A lot of people like staying where they are, so they don't like to go to a church if somebody's calling you something better. They don't want to go there. No, let me go to the place where they say, you're all right where you're at. Hey, we're doing good where we are. We're dancing and having fun. Hallelujah. Why? Because it requires something of you to go further.
Amen.
It'll challenge you to go further. You'll have to deal with things that you didn't deal with before, or things that you go further. I do better in life with challenges. I do. I just do better in life with challenges. I've learned not to run from them. You know, I was born and raised in, you face the challenges or life gets really hard. You're going to step up. And so, and I thank God for being taught like that. But we're going to look over at Mark. First of all, we're going to start at Mark 11:22. But the story is, in which we know, is Jesus did something. Jesus came along and spoke to a tree. And he told that tree was going to never bear any fruit again. It was going to, that tree was going to die. It was never going to bear any more fruit. That tree was done. And they went away from it. I mean, the tree didn't instantly stop. But the next day, the disciples came. They came by heading back to Jerusalem. And when they came back down, Peter stops and said, hey, that tree, Lord, that master that you spoke to, it's dead. It died. And this is where Jesus came along and then told them something. And you need to understand this. When we look at Mark 11:23, we need to understand this. Mark 11:23 is the law of faith. If you don't understand this scripture, you can go on to all that other stuff you want about faith. You won't go very far in it. This is the law of faith. This, Mark 11:23, everything with dealing with prayer and any kinds of stuff like that is off of understanding this scripture. For your personal life, your personal life, your victory in your personal life is dependent on this scripture. It's about faith. So you can go Mark 11:24 all you want. I see people like Mark 11:20, they Mark 11:24, but they don't understand the law of faith. So it don't work. It doesn't work. It's wise. Understand this law. This is something. Now, settle this in your fact. This is Jesus speaking. So you have to come to this conclusion. Don't matter what you think about it.
Amen.
If you don't go there, you'll never get the thing with the law. If you think you have a choice on how it worked, you've already missed it. I've said it. This thing is right. There's one thing as I've learned over this, is the practice of this law, it never fails. Never. If we fail, it's we failed. The law never fails. It never fails.
Amen.
If it does, Jesus Christ is a liar. And if you can prove to me he lied, I'll throw my Bible away in a second. Because what do I believe after?
That's right.
What can I take? If he lied about this, it isn't true. Now, this is something because one of the things that's hard about this because you got to give up your natural thinking to be able to understand the law of faith. This is not natural. It don't make any sense in the natural to do this. This is stupid. This is something. This is something. Sounds like an occult to me. I'm in the Jesus cult. That's the one I'm in.
Hallelujah.
And it's a cult. It's allowed to dominate my life and rule me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It can take over. The more it takes over, the better I'm off, the more it does. So hallelujah. So I'm in the Jesus cult. And Jesus made this statement. First of all, he said this out of here. Jesus answered, he said to them, he said, have faith in God. Now the literal Greek, or that literally actually says, is have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. See, then, this is what throws people off. Sometimes I think translators try to translate, especially to do some of the new translations, they have really some good stuff in them, but they take some things and make it too human. They take it and lower the level of it. We need to understand that Mark 11:23 is the bar set the whole way up. If you wanted it something less, then you're going to have something probably usually is even less than that. See, we're shooting for the bar, the top bar. Now you don't, you know, you may not hit it all. You don't hit it all right away. You know, we're developing in our faith, getting more and more to hit that bar. This is what the church world, the church world today has done this, you know, with the seeker friendly. What they do is they've done and understand they started this thing and they followed and turn around and our cultures followed it too. The church began to lower the bar, and so the world did too. In our schools, they lower the bars. That started in the church, folks. The church is the reason, the mess today in our nation. The church is. Because the church keeps lowering the bar. There's a bar set for salvation. You can move it any place you want. Heaven's going to be the one that people meet the bar.
Amen.
Right.
Preachers can throw it any place they want it and put it wherever they want. They can say any darn thing they want to say about it. God set the bar, not me. And I gave up a long time. Hey, God, that's your bar. Then that's what I gotta attain to that. That's the place I must go. I want the blessing. The blessing's at the bar is where it reached. You know, one thing is I learned is the more I develop my faith, the more I could attain blessing.
Amen. That's right.
You set the bar low, the less blessing you're going to have. The less you're going to have. Well, we talked, that's why all the time God's in control and all this stuff. I'm going to tell you what, I found out a long time ago. Ed got to step up. God's waiting for me to step up. He's very merciful and very kind. He's very patient. My God, I'm amazed how he put up with me all he has. I'd have thrown me under the bus a long time ago, but he don't. He keeps working with you to get higher, higher, higher. But he's always going to try to move you higher. If you like where you're at, I'm just going to tell you this. The Holy Spirit's going to deal with you very little eventually. Won't deal with you much at all. You can't reject what Jesus has given and the Holy Spirit thinks you're really fun to be around.
Amen.
I'm just telling you that. There's encounters I've had with the Holy Ghost. With Him personally. Not Jesus, the Holy Ghost. There's things I've had supernatural and the Holy Ghost spoke to me concerning how He views Jesus. And it's scripturally accurate. When Jesus said about, I'll forgive you of everything, but He said the Holy Spirit wouldn't. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit loves Jesus so much. He is so into Jesus. He doesn't do anything on His own, only what Jesus wants. The Holy Spirit is God. See, God the Father submitted everything to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's complete. See, everybody talks about like God. Jesus is running the show now, folks. All authority's been turned over to Jesus. And the Father has submitted Himself to what Jesus and the Holy Spirit has submitted Himself. That would be a revelation to most of the church. It's in the Bible, it's written, but nobody pays any attention to it because we got all of our religious ideas. This is why you can never slide Jesus out of the picture and Daddy and the Holy Ghost is going to be like, woo, you're something. Jesus, but why? They brought Jesus to the limelight. They did this. The Father did it. And the Holy Spirit. And they exalt Jesus. There's salvation under no other name.
Amen.
Ask Daddy and ask the Holy Ghost. They'll tell you. We won't work with you any other way. That's the way it is. Hallelujah. When we learn these principles. So we're talking here about faith. Now, the Bible in basic English says this, have God's faith. Well, see, people say, well, how can you have faith like God? Well, God gives us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God gave us faith. God couldn't give you a faith He didn't have. He gave you faith. If you have faith in God, you have faith like God has. You got it from His words. His faith is in His words. That's where it's at. It's in His words. He gives us the Word, and the Word comes forth. Now, I understand, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires us, gives us revelation. Just because you can read doesn't mean you're going to have faith.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you're going to have faith. It's the Holy Spirit's in it. See, I've learned a long time ago, when I first got saved, you know, you'd want to learn certain things. And I'd get over sometimes and get into my own studies of the Word. And then after a while, the Holy Ghost would teach me, and I'd think, how did I ever come up with that? What I believed. I learned this. You don't study the Word without the Holy Ghost, you know. It ain't a good thing to do. If the Holy Ghost isn't revealing in an area, there's things that I've had out for numbers a long time about I want to know about certain things in Scripture. But I don't go over and jump into it because the Holy Ghost ain't talking to me in that area. Now, people teach stuff in that area, but somehow my spirit's saying, nah, that ain't it. Somehow I know that ain't it. But somehow, so I'm going to have to wait. This is where patience comes in these areas. You know, I'll get over into a certain thing, and one day all of a sudden He'll start talking to me about that. There's a time to reveal. There's a time. Sometimes there's certain things you've got to learn so you can learn some other things. So there's things you want to know, but I learned not to push into things. You just don't push into it. The Holy Ghost ain't talking. It's a good thing to stay out of it because you'll come up with a really, really good doctrine. It's between you and you'll help the devil along real well. That's what you do. There's a lot of doctrines that is really out here going in the church. The church has been preaching for years. And most Christians buy them. Even Spirit-filled people buy them. And it ain't God didn't give the revelations. Man did. And people hate to give up things. Hate to admit we don't know. Dear Lord, admit we're wrong. Get over it. But here He tells us. So we're this faith. Now we're talking about faith in God. And so faith in God deals with this. It's faith in God's Word. That's what He's talking about. Jesus did not come. Jesus said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. He said, I don't do anything. I only do what I see the Father do. So in other words, we're talking about faith in God. You can have faith in other things, and you can even produce things through natural human faith. You can do it through the devil. Devil's people can do things. They can bring things to pass. I want to talk about those things as we go on here. I don't know if today, but I want to talk about these things because the church is very misguided in the idea about how faith works, and they think it's just, well, this is all toward the church. No, the church, the Bible has this idea that you're going to follow God. And when it's talking about you believing what God says and following it, not what you want to believe or what you want to do. See, your choices. It's sort of like this. I just read an article yesterday. I just saw it quickly, briefly read through it. Because this guy, this conservative, said he knew why the Republicans didn't do as well in the elections as they did. And this is, now here's a conservative. Here's his idea. He said, the Democrats now believe more in freedom than the Republicans do. And I thought, well, what's he talking about? Well, here's his idea of freedom. Here's a conservative's idea of freedom. People can do what they want. Well, they're against abortion. And they're against the marijuana stuff. Well, so see, you have the freedom to do what you want. See, Christianity is not founded in that freedom. See, it's one thing as I knew right away, he's an immoral man. That's why I know this. He's not a Christian. He's not moral. He has no morality. See, when our forefathers, I thought of it, boy, he never read nothing about our forefathers, did he? Because they had laws against that stuff. They had laws against abortion. They put people in jail for it. My God, you know, they put people to death sometimes in those cases and that stuff. They did. And this guy's sitting here talking about freedom is why, and I saw the church, this is the church does today. I listen to people, these so-called conservatives, and God has given us His freedom of the freedom of speech. I do not have the freedom to say anything I want to. See, there's so much said out here why men have left the Word of God. The God sets moral bounds on Ed Gibson. There's moral bounds that are set on me. And when I get outside of those bounds, the devil's allowed to do things to me. Because I crossed the line. There's lines of authority. And your authority won't work when you're out of line. You can't stand in the devil's territory over here and play with him and use so-called authority. No, he has authority in that realm. You have authority over this realm. And this is what we're dealing in the areas of faith. And this is the law of faith. This is given with the idea. Jesus is speaking to this, his disciples. He's been teaching these guys concerning the Word of God. He's been teaching them. This is about faith in God's Word. This is not just me going and believing something and saying anything I want. Because I can do things and get things in my life I would wish I never had. Amen. And people do it all the time. They put things out there. They start operating because this law works in the kingdom of God, and this law works in the kingdom of Satan also. Works in both places. But it's what you have faith in. This is the difference. It's the kingdom you're in. You got to follow the principles of the kingdom of God. See, in teaching and faith, lots of times we teach the idea that these principles only work over here in this. This is why, like in our nation today, I mean, the power of agreement. We look out of the world. There's millions and millions of people in this earth are out for the destruction of this nation. And they're one voice together saying it. And that's why this stuff's happening. They can do this. They can bring it to pass. They're doing it. Their spirit beings have a right to believe things and say things. And there's the devil's behind that power to bring it to pass. God ain't trying to bring it to pass. There is. You have a choice. Who do you want behind what you're doing, the devil or God? Amen. Well, you get in line with the Word. You can say, I'm on God's side, but what are you saying? Are you speaking things and doing things that are outside the authority of the kingdom of God? Why? Because it's going to open things you didn't want. Now, I know none of you ever had that problem. It's just been me. I had some, you know. I can speak from experience on things, you know. You get out there, you say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Well, but you go along sometimes, you know, you miss it. But we get over here, and then he says this. He said, for assuredly I say to you, and in other words, this is the idea of I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. Jesus said, I'm assuredly telling you this. In other words, this is how we're, whenever you say Jesus said something, last time the King James says, verily, verily, or in this here, the New King James says, assuredly. Or whatever it says. What it's saying is, in a sense, you could use it from what they used to do when you'd go in a court of law and they lay their hand on a Bible and say, I'm going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It'd be in the same principle as that. In other words, Jesus said, surely I'm telling you this. This is how it works. This is how it works. In other words, this principle of faith, this place, this thing can be a place of your blessing or it can be a place of your curse.
Amen.
A place of your curse. Well, he said, for surely I say, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now we find the things about this principle laid out, it tells this. Number one, it's something about something you say. It's something you say. That you say. Things that you say. Jesus said, I never say what anything the Father don't say. I don't say it. In other words, he guarded what he said. People say too many things. They have too many voices on the same subject. Faith people do all the time. Too many voices on too many subjects. They're not saying enough. In other words, this is about saying. We need to understand this. As we go on teaching, because I want to get you to this, because when we look at the Tower of Babel, I don't know if we'll do that today. The Tower of Babel, God did not come along and destroy their tower. What did he do? His whole attempt is to change the voice of people. It ain't changed, folks. He's still trying to change the voice of the church. People, too many ain't cooperating with it. There's one thing as it is you get it, you get faith in the Word of God should always change what you're saying.
Amen. Preach.
If it's not, you can know this, you have faith in the Word. Changes what you say. You see, the destruction, God's going to bring things to a halt of what these people are doing. Because God said, ain't nothing going to be withheld from them. These are people down here. These people following evil. They're down there. He said nothing's going to be withheld from them. That's why today there's a lot in the earth. The world is in more of agreement than the church is. Church ain't in agreement hardly at all. You look at the church world, my God, they're fighting with each other as much as they're out here against each other on things. And the world's in agreement. Let's kill them all. You know, let's destroy everything. Let's run everything into the dirt. Get everything we can free. Let's do it like that. The church says, well, that's a good idea. Let's get everything free. Let's get out. And then the church, they want to get, well, yeah, let's give them everything free. Let's do it to them there. I know this is going to work. Yeah, we're going to make them real happy. We're in agreement. Great power and agreement. God said, these people in the earth, there ain't nothing going to be. I want you to think about this. The Tower of Babel took place before the flood. Could you imagine if things got as bad as they did up the time of the flood, how bad would have they gotten if God hadn't done that? It had never got good for nobody. Probably wouldn't have been a Noah. God's trying to save humanity. He ain't quit. He's still working at it today. He's still trying to save many people call themselves Christians. Oh, they got born again, but I'll tell you what, they're on a bad road. They're on bad roads. And see, we picked up much of men's ideas. Now, it's about something we say. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea. But there's a thing, who doesn't doubt in his heart. In other words, what he says is in line with his heart, not with what how he feels about it, not the way things look in the natural. We need to understand this. He's asking something, the situation in the natural is to be changed. So what do? You speak the change you want, not what you see and what you have. That's all people do is talk about, well, I just feel so bad, and I just did this, and I just, you know, this and that. Well, they got that, and I'm trusting God, and I'm feeling so bad, and I'm feeling... And things just ain't going well, and I don't know why I can't do this, and I can't... They're going along. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, except this and that. I can't... get over yourself. Remember me. I'm awake at night and he's talking this stuff to me. But what is it? The whole point, to inspire faith. And I started to see things they started to show me. People are getting lackadaisical. They know what's true. There's people who know what's right, but they're not walking in it like it's life. It's not up front in life. It's not up front. See, we gotta get this thing back up front again. So, it's something. He says he doesn't doubt in his heart. In other words, it's about doubt in the heart. This is one of the things I've talked about before. If you don't know your own heart, you're gonna have a faith problem. I realize, and Brother Hagin, you know, taught in faith, and I learned this, but I also learned the fact of this. He never talked about much about it. There's certain things at times he said, but, it's one of the things that he's saying, be led by the Spirit, was the whole idea. You can't be led by the Spirit and you don't know your own heart. You can't be led. You are never led by the Spirit if you don't know your own heart. You can't be. Because he ain't guiding you by your head. He don't guide you by what you see. He don't guide you by what you feel. He guides you by your inner man, your heart, your spirit. That's where he guides you. And if you can't contact and know your own spirit, where do you know it is coming from? You see, it's getting out on the inside. In other words, knowing. I know in my heart. So in other words, there can't be doubt in his heart. But that person from his heart believes that those things he said will be done. Because see, you're always going to deal with your intellect. You're always going to deal with your mind. And your mind ain't always going to jump on your side. I don't care how well you renew your mind. Amen. You're reminded at times. You know, I know the things of it is. I know with listening to Brother Hagin over the years and him teaching and some others, you know, they dealt with things that were hard and it was hard from the natural standpoint of dealing with. And they had them. They weren't this, you know, Brother Hagin wasn't this guy walking through rosy, you know, beds of ease and everything's just not real nice. It didn't work in that way. He had tough times that he went through. Even his later years, he went through some really tough things. And so they're there. And they're battles to your mind. But what do you do is you follow your heart. You don't walk by what you see. You know on the inside. Do you know on the inside?
Amen.
That's why I talk about the things. Anytime I learned as a young Christian, anytime I come along and I run up a road on something, especially sometimes off the spur of the moment, things happen that can really, sort of throw you. And was one thing is that I've learned over this years. I don't make decisions on it just because I see I will stop. I know this. See, I can get in contact with man or man. If I can, I can get in contact with God. If you can't get in contact with God, it's because you can't get in contact with your inner man. I'm not being mean about this or trying to talk anybody down. I'm just telling you, I've learned how it works. This is one of the things that I did it, like the things at nighttime. I noticed with myself that if I wake up during the night, years ago, I was much more sensitive to my inner man at nighttime. Because see, when I went to sleep, all the rest of the things and the thoughts and everything were gone and all that stuff. And you're laying there sawing the logs, you know. And I wake up and mostly it's not on my mind about the things in the natural. You know, give it a little time. You'll start wanting to think on them. But you're laying there and I pick up stuff. I start in on the inside of me. I pick it up at night. See, I've learned to turn to that. First thing as I do is I look to that on the inside. Many times I found the Holy Ghost has something he wants to say. Or there's sometimes he doesn't specific, but he brings me an impression of something. And I just, yeah. So sometimes I wake up, I know there's something there, I can't pick it up. I'll just start praying in tongues for a while. I'll pray, and then all of a sudden I start, I got it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I see that. So you got to do spiritual. If you want spiritual things to happen, you got to do spiritual stuff. God ain't going to come up and talk in your ear when you're a knucklehead, you don't pay much attention. Hey, it ain't going to happen. Come on. It's the way it is. We can play all these games and try to make people think, no, there's something, there's a bar to shoot for.
Amen.
I mean, I'm only born again less than 2 months, and the Holy Spirit says to me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Can He really talk to that way to you? Can He talk? Does He talk to you like that? You don't know Him well. I was listening on how to be led by the Spirit. That's what I was listening to. He said, if you don't learn to do this, you ain't going to amount to nothing. About 20 years later, in February, 20 years later, he said to this, most of my people have amounted to nothing. That's what he said to me. Why? Are they bad people? No. But they don't know how to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
We succeed with God by following the Spirit, not following what we want.
Amen.
I have great ideas. Thank God I'm not doing them. Hallelujah. See, people get over here and they get into this area. It's you want to be led by the Spirit. You want to get on the inside. See, people aren't paying attention. They're good. They're doing good and nice things, but may not at all. You know, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that many of his ministers live and die and never step into the first phase of what God called them to do. Think about that. Why? Not led by the Spirit. Stand in pulpits, run churches, do this. We're loaded with them today. Now, I'm not saying this to criticize. It's what it is. And the bad part about it is the church, the people in the pews know less about the Holy Ghost than he does, and they don't notice that he don't know him.
That's right.
It ain't his fault. Just, I'm going to tell you, Christians are going to stand for Jesus. He's going to say, why'd you put up with that? Why didn't you learn? You had a Bible. Why didn't you read it? You got the Holy Ghost. Why didn't you read it? I can't run around to somebody else to teach me all the time.
Amen.
I learned how to eat by myself. I found this out a long time when I got here. I thought, Kenneth Hagin, as a young boy, laying on a deathbed without any teachers or anything else. A young boy laying on the bed, reading the Bible, the Holy Ghost revealed to him, and he ended up getting divinely healed because he got the revelation on Mark 11:24. He got that revelation and walked off a bit, never had a teacher. And he's a kid. I remember when I first heard him give his testimony, and I said, I ain't going to let some teenage kid beat me. Well, he done beat majority of the adults in the Spirit-filled church today because they're sitting around, can't wait, everybody waiting for somebody else to give them something. Now, you got to learn to feed yourself. You got to learn to get a revelation.
Amen.
Where you can stop and say, hey, God told me this.
Hallelujah.
I know because God told me. Mm-hmm. You got to know about revelation. Can you listen to a minister? What's revelation and what's not? Do you know? You know, there's things that I remember over the years listening to Kenneth Hagin. He said things. already. And you know what? I found out later that they were true, but they didn't register on me at the time. I didn't know. And he said things, and I thought, I don't know. I just don't, you know. He used to say this, eat the hay and leave the sticks. If the Holy Ghost ain't revealing that to you, don't just take it and run around just because he said it. Why? It ain't faith to you anyhow. Wasn't revealed to you. Just because you heard somebody say it. This is why we got these people running around. They're just running around quoting some ministers. Certain areas of the church can hardly get a revelation because they have believed what men said, and what men said hadn't been right. And they run around and talk about it and go tell other people about it, and it ain't even scriptural. But so-and-so said it, and, well, you know, I had a guy tell me one time, well, you know, this guy, certain guy was down 7. And I said, well, you know, I can't go along with that. He said, well, he has a big church and he has this. I said, oh, that qualifies. I said, man, the Muslims must be have right on with God. They're the largest religion in the world. Glory to God. They must really have it right. But this is today. Big is better. See, we're Americans, you know. Big debt is good. Big crazy. Big Congress. You know, it's all good. Big, big, big. One thing is, I found it. It's like Randall Greer would say. He said, if you just you look at the direction 80% of the church is going, he said, if you head the opposite direction by fault, you'll be default. You'll be following God. If you look where the majority of them are heading for, that ain't where you go. See, God will reveal to you. Well, see, then there's things that I learned with Kenneth Hagin said. Then I learned over time as I learned things. You know, he was right about it. But you can't just buy it just because some guy says it. You got to learn around. You got to get a revelation on it yourself. Because you're going to step out to do something you ain't got no faith in. And this is where people fail. Then they come up with a new doctrine. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes says no. Or, well, God did that for him because he was a minister and he did. People do that stuff all the time. People think ministers get special. No. I get this special. The devil gets after me more than you.
Amen.
That's the special.
Amen.
He wants Ed to shut up. Tell him the truth, hallelujah. He don't want nobody free. He wants to preach the freedom of the world, to bring it to the church. There's many voices doing it for him. Many voices doing it for him. Taking the freedom of the world, bringing it to the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This one thing is I'm glad of. God has put restrictions on me.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Not bad, they're good restrictions. God has a fence. I ain't crawling over the fence.
Amen.
I've done it a few times. Glad to be back. Hallelujah. I wish he'd run an electric fence. It'd keep me in more often. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we keep ourselves. But this is it. So he tells us, here's the law of faith and how it works. It works on this, that you say something. And you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that things, what? You believe it in your heart, that the things that you said is going to be done. It's going to happen. And he said, you will have it. He didn't say you might. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. He said you will have it. But there are restrictions set on it. In other words, there's a law, and there's a bar set, and that bar is set very high. He said there's a mountain here. Now, Jesus just spoke to a tree. They're standing on the Mount of Olives, and this is what he's talking about. If you say unto this mountain, they're standing on the Mount of Olives. That's where they're standing at. He said, in other words, this mountain you're standing on here, if you say this and you don't doubt in your heart and you speak it, it'll go. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. Is that what he really meant? Is he really talking about that? Is that what he's really talking about? Is it? He sure was what he's talking about. But see, people have lowered the bar today. I could sit and name you ministers who say, he's not talking about literal mountains. I've had ministers, and we hear that. See? He's talking about the mountains in your life. I know what he said. Jesus just spoke to a tree. And ain't the worst time he spoke to a tree. He told the disciples more than one time. One time he told them about there was a tree in the King James' Sycamine, and the one that calls it a mulberry tree. He told you be plucked up and thrown in the ocean. It'll obey you. You think he was just making statement? You see, people lowered the bar. God set the bar up here. Now, I was born again probably less than 2 years. And in a study of this subject concerning faith, God had me over the areas of teaching me and healing, and in turn, learning the subject of faith concerning healing. And he started to do this, and I had never heard anybody ever say this, or Kenneth Hagin or nobody. One day, it was the Holy Spirit, said to me, he said, did you notice that the Lord never prayed about animate objects? And I thought, well, no. He said, did you notice? He spoke to the wind. He said, speak to the mountain and talk to the tree. He said, did you notice he never prayed about those things? He talked to them. I said, no, I never noticed that. Never noticed that in the Word. He never, and you know, from that time on, there's things I don't ever, animate things and stuff that I want changed, something to change. I just say, this is going to do this, or this is going to happen, or that's going to, I just speak to it. I just speak and say that. I've learned over time, you can do this. This is what he's talking about here. He said that there's things out here that you can speak to. Now, those same things, you could pray about them. You could. Either way, because he uses Mark 11:24. He said, okay, then when you pray, so you pray about something, you use the same principle. The prayer of faith is the same principle as the law of faith. They're identical. It's not different. You got to believe it in your heart and not doubt it. Now, it tells us what to do when you pray in Mark 11:24. Now, we have there, so in Mark 11:23 says, so what you believe, and understand this, what you believe alone may not change anything. We have this thing, and when people talk about faith, and they really push the thing of, well, I believe this and I believe that. Yeah, but what are you saying? See, if you aren't putting the principle, I believe in gravity, which, you know what I do? I act on the fact like I believe in gravity. I don't go and just jump off a building and go jump off something. See, people say, I believe things, but never walk in line with it. Never talk in line with it. And they're believing the right thing. But it'll never work for them till their mouth and their actions get in line with what they're saying. Because people don't understand the law of faith. They don't understand. This is a law. You know, understand this about laws. We have laws in the natural, like we put laws in our government. You know, you will never find a law that covers everything the way you'd like it to. Do you know what? Sometimes I wish the law of faith would be a little different. God didn't set the laws because to make you happy and feel good that they would do whatever you wanted to do. They're a law established by God that is perfect, and everything must come in line with His law. There's a lot of things we might see in different ways, and see, we do that in the natural. We've learned this today, and in our courts and everything else, they don't even pay attention to the law anymore. Well, I think the law ain't good in doing this, so I'm gonna, the judge just rules this way. But the law states this, because if I don't like what the law says, I just get outside authority and go do my own thing. I watch Christians do this all the time. Break the laws of God. Break the rules of God because, well, I think it ought to be done like this, and I think we ought to do that. You know, I'm with them, you know. And, you know, I'm love, you know, and I'm loving. No, you don't do that. Sometimes it isn't easy following a law. You know what? It ain't easy following a law. I'm just going to tell you. Your flesh can get awful loud to you when you start following the laws of God. Your flesh can get real noisy. And you think, well, the devil's doing this or the devil's doing that, and it ain't the devil doing anything. It's what we're dealing with ourselves and the battle within our own minds and dealing with our own hearts. Our hearts believe a certain thing, and our mind is running contrary because I'm not seeing yet what I want to see. So, you know, we got to change and do something because I have to have something changed right now. I'm such a person of faith. It must be changed now. I know. You guys don't good. I'm just telling you what. You can listen to what I go through. It ain't changed yet. Let me say this, because we're not going to throw that out as a thing. Sometimes, it ain't till you get fed up with what the situation you have till it's going to change. I've had things ready. That went on, and I finally, I just got mad about it, you know. I don't know if it was righteous indignation or Ed was just mad. One of the two. I don't know. But I said, Lord, this ain't going to keep going. This is changing now. You know, thing changed. I've had numbers of times. But you got to follow what's in your heart. You don't operate out of your head in that, or you become a person who has no patience and no things. You know, so I don't want to get over and make it that thing that, you know, you're just always going to have to wait a long time. Sometimes, see, this is why you got to follow what's in your heart. in your heart what you can do. It was like when I tell the story about having a heart attack. I followed what was out of my heart to do. I got up and said, I'm going for a run. That wasn't out of my head. My heads were saying, words were coming, you're going to die, you're going to die. You do this, you're going to die. So you have those things go on in those battles. You have to know where the battle's going from. If you're in a situation and you can't hear your heart, you're going to follow what's in your head to do. You're going to follow. You're going to make a choice. As I just learned over time as a young Christian, I mean very young in Christian, I just learned at times to stop, not just do something real quick. There's one thing, because I've often noticed how many people never really listen to a lot of things Kenneth Hagin taught. All they saw is, faith will get you what you want. That's all they saw. And it's like, there's one thing as I learned, he's patient. He was a very patient man. Very patient. He waited. He'd trust God no matter what, no matter how it looked like he was going to fail, go under, what was going to happen. He's going to follow God. He never blamed God for his problems or never did nothing like that. And but being around that kind of teaching, I thank God for it. So I want you to get this about 23, because we're going to go on to 24. He says, what have you said specifically that you believe will be changed and you don't doubt it won't be changed? What have you said? Have you said something you don't doubt it's going to be changed? You see, you come over to the point, number one, you're going to act differently after you do that if you really believed it.
Amen.
You ain't going to act like the guy that don't believe.
That's right.
Your actions are going to be different after that. You got something, you won't be afraid. It's like with me, I wasn't afraid about dying. You know, to me, I settled it way back as a young Christian. I settled the fact back as a young Christian. I'd rather die believing, doing an attempt to believe God than just go on in this Christian junk like most people do.
Amen. Fruit.
I'd rather die and go to heaven than mess around down here and not take a shot at anything. Mm-hmm. I don't like get by Christianity. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Because if you buy get by, you'll always be doing the get by.
Amen. Preach.
And, you know, I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going.
Amen.
What an awful thought. It'll end up in heaven. What a terrible thing. Wow, you'd leave this earth and you'd have to go to heaven. Oh, my God. And leave all your nice stuff that you collected down here that was so wonderful. When you hit heaven, you look back and say, what on earth was I doing? Look, there's nothing matter with having stuff. There's nothing a matter with that. But see, that stuff, if you do, see, you can let it become your God. It's your boy. If you know, most people that I have dealt with who were dying, they were more worried about the earthly things than the Christians. I'm talking about spirit-filled Christians. More concerned about earthly things than what they were going to. You know, I've had people say, you know, I've been there, well, you know, what's going to happen with my family? Probably get better. You're leaving now. You know, it's like, get over yourself. I'm such faith with God, if I ain't around, nothing can get taken care of. Oh, my God. When Brother Hagin died, there's Christians thought Jesus did. Wow. That's what they were following. It ain't because of him. When he died, I thought, dear Lord, he taught me how to live. So I can live here. And you know what? I can still die by faith too. Can you die by faith? I can. I can die by faith.
Amen.
My brother just died. He got that. He understood. Now he didn't believe in Jesus. But you know what? I went in and talked to him and sat down and talked with him in the hospital. And he said this. He said, now he was dealing. He was 87 years old. And he had cancer. He didn't understand things of faith. But he said, from the standpoint of healing and stuff, he didn't understand that stuff. But he stopped. And he said this. He said, now, I ain't staying around. I'm going home. I'm leaving. He said, I ain't staying here. He said, I ain't staying here and going through with this stuff. I'm leaving, you know. And, you know, those people thought, well, you ought to be in the doctors and this. He said, no, we ain't going through that. I'm leaving. I'm going.
Amen.
And they said how long he was going to live. He died 2 days later. I mean, they got it all wrong. Why? He died by faith.
Amen.
He said, no, I'm leaving. I'm going. I'm leaving. I'm going. You see, people don't understand these. Now, you don't go try that if you don't. This is about faith. He believed he is gone. He couldn't get nobody to change his idea about that. Some of the other Christians in the family wanted to change his idea. You know, they're a bunch of knuckleheads. They don't, you know, they didn't do less than he did and thought they knew more. Let him alone. Let him go home. What's wrong with him? He's 87 years old. He don't want to play around. He don't want to go. He doesn't understand about healing. He don't want to go through the chemos and all this kind of stuff and then turn around and live 2 years in misery. He said, out of here. Hallelujah. He's in heaven. And there's Christians trying to get him to stay here with them because of their fears of death. Okay. We'll go on to something else. Hallelujah. But he said, I want to go. And he did. His mouth took him home. He wouldn't change it for nobody. You know, they made remarks to me about it. I wouldn't talk to him about it. I said, let him alone. Let him go. Hallelujah. I agree with him. He wants to go, let him go. Hallelujah. It's his life. It ain't yours. Hallelujah. There's people who have suffered and suffered in this earth. They should have went because they didn't have the ability to live good here. They didn't have it anymore. Why struggle here? Let's go. My God, he's up there. Oh my God, I'm still here. Dear Lord, makes you mad thinking about it. Hallelujah. Mark 11:24 says this. Jesus said, therefore. The term therefore is this. Is because of the law of faith. What is he saying? Therefore. Because of the statement that I just made of how faith works, of saying and believing in your heart. That's what it is. Saying and believing in your heart. Not believing in your head. I just want to tell you this. You can bring things to pass with your head fighting you and your heart. I've done it so many darn times. My head fighting me on things. But inside I knew that I knew that I knew. And I just kept saying what I knew that I knew that I knew in my heart. And my head kept saying, I just can't get this thing. I just do that. Don't you see that? So you think it's so wonderful to hear and see. Not necessarily. Sometimes I wish you could blind, deaf, and dumb. I usually hit the dumb part. Hallelujah. Saying the right things. But he said, because I'm telling you, he said, I say to you, whatever thing that you ask, now I want you to know that word ask can literally be used in this manner, the word ask. Also, it can mean desire, can be used in that manner, and it also means require. What do you require? See, lots of times I talked about God to what I require. I require certain things. If God wants me to do things, I can require things of Him. This is not a one-way street, like I told you before. You know, I don't go around trying to figure out how I'm going to get the money to do God's stuff. If He can't bring money in to do His stuff, then I ain't taking take everything I got, go give it. I watch people do this. They don't trust God, you're going to have to get in the middle of this thing. You're going to have to do something. Because if it only works on what I can attain and what I can do, we're in trouble. I need outside help. I don't know about you, but I want divine help. I don't want to be the guy standing there, you know, on radio. All you can do is talk about, you know, your things, whatever it is that, you know, he's doing and you got to send him money all the time. You hear it, you know, sometimes somehow I get just tired of hearing it. You know, there's one thing, and I've told you over the years, just irks me. You turn around and give to ministries, you do things, and they send you a Christmas card. They can't even send you a Christmas card without putting a thing in it for asking for money. I'm so disgusted, and I just tear them up and throw them away. I just, you know, I don't, forget it. You can't even send me a Christmas card. You can't even just send me a card. So the next time, I just send them an empty envelope back. You know, but see, this whole thing, what have we become? See, this affects, and you need to know, I don't want to do that to people. You know, it has picked up. I get right now from political people using exactly the same thing, and conservatives are using the same thing that the churches use, are sending to you about becoming in my partner. And the bottom line is, yes, my partner is your wallet. This is our partnership. That's the way a lot of ministries are. Our partnership is our wallet. I want your money. And I become your partner by giving money. What do I get out of you? Lots of times with people, I can get as good teaching off of somebody else. There's people I give to that I know more than they do about things and a lot of things. But, you know, I just feel that there's certain things that our ministry reaches and does certain things and I bless them with. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, from a standpoint, I'm not looking at something they give to me as I'm doing something is giving to them. We've lost this. It becomes a one-way street. That's not a relationship. My relationship is my wife, what it is. It's just whatever she can do and, you know, perform for me. Then we're partners? Is that going to be the relationship? That ain't much of a relationship. What am I performing or doing for you? What am I doing? See, the relationship in a marriage, it's a two-way street.
Amen.
These people are trying to have fellowship. My fellowship with God ain't based on what he can do for me. Those people, that's exactly what it is. See, that's what the church has become. There's this idea. It's all this, God, you got all this and you just are going to give it all to me and take care of it. Now, you know, don't ask me for nothing. I'm busy doing my stuff here, you know. Let's not get over here and asking too much. God dealt with me about the fact of my money. Well, he said if my people, he said they want me to help them, they want money, they want healing and all that stuff. He said, can I have the same access to your bank account as you want to have to my stuff? Oh, well, that's a different story. Well, I found out he's a good God, so yes, you can have access. You can have access. Because, see, I like a two-way street.
Amen.
I don't like the one-way street stuff. I don't like, because why? There's very little fellowship in it. They become partners with no fellowship. That's what most people have in the church world. Partners, no fellowship. I'm sorry. God loves to fellowship. God loves to fellowship. He wants to be personal with you. You aren't some cookie cutter thing set out here and that stuff to God. You have a life. You have a personality. He deals with you. God deals with me the way I am. He don't deal with me the way you are. He told me about it. Because you know what I did? I sat down when God called me to start a church. The last thing in the world I wanted to do is be a pastor. God had never spoken to me about being a pastor. And the reason I think he did, because I'd have probably ran and hid. I didn't want to be a pastor. You know, I understand what Brother Hagin said. Brother Hagin said, I have never done anything in ministry, he said, that really I wanted to do. He said, the things I wanted to do in ministry, God's never called me to do. I know what it's about. God never calls, you know, you're reminded of what you think. That ain't the way it operates. God has a plan, and his blessing is on that plan.
Amen.
His blessing for you is on that plan. But see, when you get to know him personally, you'll end up liking his plan. You'll get over and you say, I see why. I see why he's doing this. I understand why he's operating. Because we're walking in areas of limited knowledge. But, you know, getting over there, that, and I didn't want to start a church and that stuff. So what I did, he told me to start a church pastor. Well, you know, I would go and I'd pray and I'd pray about it and I'd be praying and stuff and this would keep coming up to me to start a church. So what I'd do is, we'll pray some later. We'll just, you know, because every time I'd come over and on that thing would start. That isn't what I wanted. So I finally did this. I was at Rhema, and this is what the Lord did to me. I was, you know, before I went to Rhema, I was a teacher. I'd teach. I did a lot of teaching. That's what I did. And so I went to Rhema, and I just thought, well, the second year I'm going into teaching. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, no. He said, you're going into missions. Oh, missions. So, Lord, you want to go to missions? I go to missions. I said, you never just ever what God's going to do. Because God can change you in things. So I went over and I went to the missions thing. And I really enjoyed missions classes. When I got over into it, you know, you're in the will of God, man. I'm in the will of God. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm having a good time over the missions class. And so, you know, this is what, you got to be careful what you read and what God does. Because I go down to Peru on a mission trip with Rhema. You know, we go down in this mission trip. We go to this whole mission trip, we could tell you about it. Some more supernatural happened, even getting us there. More divine interventions and stuff that went on. But anyhow, down there, I'm standing in church up on the front in Lima, in the city of Lima. I'm standing up in front of a church room. We're in the first row, sitting along. And the minister who was ministering actually was Fred Brothers from Rhema, he was in Rhema at that time. He was one of the instructors. And Fred was up, and Fred was preaching. And man, it was just a powerful anointing on him. So Fred's going to minister. He said, I want to minister to people. And he said, I want to minister to people. Come down here with me. He said, I want to minister to them. And so we all stood up in the front. He told us to stand up front, stood up in the front. When I stood up, the Lord said, turn around and look over the congregation. When I turned over and looked over the congregation, I didn't see the congregation. I looked back, and it looks like to me you could see a million miles, and it was just people of every race and every color and everything you think of. And he said, that's your people. And I thought, what on earth is this about? I thought, you know, I learned you don't put things on things, because I thought, but there's one thing I did add to it, but I didn't realize. See, I put an interpretation. Wait till God interprets. I look back over. So, you know what my whole idea? I'm going on the mission field. And I'm excited about this. I'm going on the mission field. I can't wait. I go on the mission field. This is exciting. I get back. So God tells me, you know, leave Rhema. There, at Rhema, there was ones that asked me in the pastoral staff. They asked us, hey, you could stay here a while, you know, and we could use you. And I said, good, because there's a number of them I knew very well. I got to know very well personally. And I said, no, I said, God's telling us we've got to go home. And I talked to Wanda, and Wanda said, yeah, I don't feel we're supposed to stay. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'd like to stay. My family was having a good time there. And I'm going to tell you, it was wonderful. We had a great fellowship of people. We had made loads of friends and that stuff. The kids loved it there and that stuff, and we're doing really good. But I learned, you got to lead your heart. There's one thing is I could have stayed there and been miserable. Because that's what had happened to me. I'd have to try to close my eyes every night knowing my disobedience. That's why a lot of people can't sleep. They tell you it's all these kind of reasons they can't sleep. They know better than what they're doing. Anyhow, that bothers you. But anyhow, we came back, and I came back, and God says, start a church. So, this is where I got over the thing. Rhema had given us all these books and stuff. When you go there, they give you these books, and some of them you read for classes, and some of them are just for your information, and even for class is used for other classes, but they still give you the books for them. You can read them. And they had a book on pastoring that they used for the pastoral class. And I will never forget, I get this book out, and I start reading this pastoral book, and I'm thinking, my God, this thing ain't me at all. You're telling... And I'm thinking, it's the devil trying... Rhema gave me the book, you know. This is a book from Rhema, so it must came from heaven. And I'm going through this book, and I'm reading it, and I can't identify with this guy on pastoring at all. I said, it's not me. It's not. And I looked at it. Well, then, I got over with God about this thing. So one day I got praying, and I said, Lord, this thing keeps coming up. You keep bringing up this thing about pastoring. I said, God, if this is you, I said... I read this book from Rhema, and I said, being a pastor, I said, I can't see me in that book at all. I can't find Ed over there. He ain't there. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, would you throw that book away? He said, that guy wrote that book of how I used him, and he wrote it like everybody else is supposed to do what I'm doing. He said, I know what you're like and what you are, and he said, you're the guy in the place I want you. I said, well, that sounds good. I still don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to start no churches. Let us. And I said, I got over it, and I spent about a week or two after that. And every time I'd go to pray, and I got over praying about this thing with this church thing, and finally, the Holy Ghost got tired of it with me, and I was praying, and He told me, I was kneeling. I can tell you, I was kneeling on our living room floor, and I was just there praying away. And the voice said, get up off your feet. I don't want to hear another thing about this. You know what to do, and you better do it. And I said, yes, sir. And that was it. Daddy's mad. You know, I feel sorry for you if you don't know God like that. God is a personality. He ain't this cute little thing all his time saying you're sweet, because that'd be the biggest lie in the world you ever heard. You ain't always sweet. Sometimes he needs to tell you, shut up and get up off the floor. Go do what you know to do. Yes, sir. I just felt bad that I had pushed it that far. Maybe you don't push stuff as far as I do. I don't know. But it's just sometimes. But God has a personality. And this is one thing as I've learned about his personality. It's usually important. And it's because of faith. Because faith is how you access yourself to God.
Amen.
It's yielding by faith. This is how you do it. So we need to understand this. So we come to this Mark 11:24. This thing, whatever it is that you ask, or what is it that you desire? What are you asking and you desire or you require? What is it that you ask? You know, it does not say, well, I don't, you know, God, for whatever you want me to have or whatever. It don't say that. He's asking. See, you need to understand this. We're in a relationship with God. We should learn to know him well enough to know things we can ask for and things that we don't ask for. Just one thing's over the years, you as you mature, you learn more and more about his character. There's things that I know for sure how God would react to a certain situation. I know how he's going to react. I know what he's going to do. Why? You learn. You do that with people. Isn't there people say, man, I don't want to talk to them about that. Boy, they ain't going to be happy. Why? You know their personality. You know what they're like. God's no different. It's a person. All these people say, I want a personal relationship. People don't even know what they're saying when they say that.
Amen.
They think that this thing with God is this huge, big thing. He's this woo up there, and you're this little thing down here. No, it's not what it is. He's just as personal as crazy. He's just as personal as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
He has a personality. One thing is I learned this about him. You mess up and repent, he can forget so quick it'll blow your mind. It'll just blow your mind how quick it act like nothing ever happened. You just got to learn to get it out of your mind.
Amen.
That's where most people mess up. They can't get it out of their mind. His personality is, once you repent, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
When God told me, get up off the floor, get out there, you know, I just repented, said, okay, I was going to do it. He dealt with me like nothing ever happened. He talked to me then like nothing ever happened. It's like, oh, we've been buddies in this all the time. See, I wish I'd get that good at it. He does. And I've had a few occasions with that where he just out and out rebuked me and I repented and immediately he talked to me as if nothing ever happened. He's wonderful. You got to get to know him like that.
Amen.
You want to know him that way. It's not something for Ed Gibson. It wasn't something for Kenneth Hagin to know these things. It's for everybody.
Amen.
He works with you personally and what you are. He knows what you, he's called you. You know, we don't have the same personality. Did you ever notice that? When I came into the kingdom, there was a lot of weird teaching in that line, trying to get people over. Then they started doing all this testing stuff to see what your personality testing, good psychology stuff that gets people out of the will of God. Because you can't put people. See, I took those tests. You know, they had you do those tests. Took them tests, and they said I would. And then literally, they said, "Well, you're going to go crazy." I said, "Because I didn't fit one of their categories. They didn't fit in one of them." Well, you know, so there's something wrong with you. I said, "Well, sure, there's something wrong with me. I'm born again. I ain't doing that stuff. There's something wrong with me. You out here going to get put in a category? Nobody's in the same category in the same ministry office." People fall in different categories in the same minister office. This is why you can't, you just can't look at somebody else. You've got to see the Holy Ghost. You've got to know God. Because as you do, these kind of things make these scriptures and law of faith becomes a reality to you.
Amen.
You're talking to somebody you know. You're talking to somebody you have a relationship with. You're talking to somebody. See, that's why you got to believe the word. Mike mentioned about it last week, and just mentioned Mike, because they did a lot of teaching back when I came in the kingdom, and Mike did that time. They were doing a lot of teaching of who you were in Christ and what you are. And that's a big relationship builder. That's the building of that fellowship with one another of who you are. Finding out, if you don't know, I listen to all this stuff all the time. People are trying to find out who they are, Christians. Wake up, you knucklehead. Who you are? You're a born-again Christian. The Bible tells you who you are. Get into what it said. I'm trying to find myself. Well, I'm going to tell you what. You're going to be 30 years down the road, and you ain't going to still know where you're at. You're going to be as dumb as you are. That isn't how you don't find that out. You get born again, and you listen to your spirit. I know who I am. I know in whom I am believed and persuaded that he's able to take what I've committed to him until that day.
Hallelujah.
That's it. Don't get no better.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. People don't know who they are, trying to find themselves. My God, I was doing, that's how I got living like hell. I was living in sin as a sinner. I was trying to find myself in everything, and I found myself in all kinds of situations I should have never been in. Trying to find yourself. My God, Christians, hallelujah. I was so glad when I got born again because I had a direction in life. Never had a direction in life before that. Had a direction. Hallelujah. Had something in me guiding me. I never had that before. It was always dead. And the devil bugging me, and I didn't know that. Hallelujah. So, when we pray, what was it? Yes. So whatever you ask for, whatever you desire or whatever you require, what are you supposed to believe? Believe that you receive them. Do you believe when you prayed that God said, yes, it's yours, you got it? He didn't say, well, you know, look down the road there someday, sometime. When are you supposed to believe you got it? Exactly when you prayed. Exactly at the time that you prayed, that's when you're supposed to believe it. See, faith will change things. Number one, it's going to change you. Your actions will become different. Your talking will become different if you believe He already said, yes, it's yours. You got it. You can never have patience for something that's always down the road. If you're waiting to get it down the road somewhere, you'll get tired of waiting. After a while, you'll be talking about your problems, and you'll be talking about you can't. Faith is what is how you're able to maintain yourself in patience. Because I know I have it. It already. I'm not trying to get it. It already belongs to me. What I believe, what I ask for, or what I had a desire for, or whatever it was that I required, when I ask God for it, He's already said, it's yours, it belongs to you. See, that's the law of faith. When the mountain, when you done spoke to that mountain, what are you supposed to do? It's moving ready to see? It's going to be done. You're not trying to see when God's going to do it. If you're doing it, it's not faith. That's not faith. It's believing you have it right at the time that you pray. That's the law of faith. That runs contrary to everything natural. People love to do what's natural. They want to have a natural Christianity. We don't have one. We don't have a natural Christianity. Christianity is supernatural. It's a supernatural changed life, becoming. I mean, the greatest miracle that ever took place, it already took place in your life when you got born again. That's the greatest miracle that ever took place. The Bible shows us it took more power for God to save man than to do as the creation of all the stars and everything. And we sit out there and sing songs about the stars and Him doing all the creation. We don't sing songs about Him getting us born again. Man, that's the biggie. That was the blow up. We sit out there and say, whoa, look what all He made out here. Yeah, look at me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. He took a guy like me and made him a new creature. Woo-hoo! My God, that's something. I'm a new creation. Amen. See, the principle of faith, the law of faith worked in that. You didn't believe, well, one day I prayed the prayer and one day I'll get saved. Down the road, I'll get saved one day. Yeah, I'm just waiting for the manifestation of salvation in my life. It's hard to me to understand how Christians do things and how they come up with their thoughts about stuff. Because they have all these different rules and laws that they put. No, God established a law on faith, and it's, you know what? Not complicated. Ed can figure it out. Not complicated. I mean, if I can figure it out, it can't be too hard. It can't. Ed can figure it out. That's just, you know. Hallelujah! So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to believe God. Believe you receive it right at the time. So whatever you ask for when you pray, believe you have it before you see it or feel it. And then you will end up, you'll see it and feel it. Now sometimes some things come quick, sometimes they don't. But the whole time you need to believe it's yours. You have it. You need to talk about, thank God, you know. I'm believing God for something. I do is I always like to what Ken Hagin Jr. talked about when he was a kid. His dad, that's a family sometimes, would get together and agree on something. And they'd believe God for something and they'd do it. He said we would put, what we were standing for, we'd put it on a thing and put it on a refrigerator. And every time we went to the refrigerator, he said, what you do is you thank God, hallelujah, that's ours. That belongs to us. We got it. He said we never prayed about it ever again. We never. The only thing we ever did is thank God it's done. Hallelujah. Well, that's what it is. If you believed you received it, hallelujah. Can you do any more than receive it? See, we have more faith in Amazon than we do God. We'll order things and wait for it to come and go around and tell people, yeah, I just bought one of those things. You ain't got it yet. When it comes to God, well, you louse, it ain't going to work on you. When I see it, I'll believe you, you scum. Yeah, we're trusting in Him. Hallelujah. We have it. It's ours.
Amen.
See, that doesn't run. That is a totally running contrary saying you have something you can either feel, see, or anything like that. You don't have it. What do you have? You have the Word says you have it.
Amen.
That's your title deed. That's the deed. That's the title that you have it. You do anything else, you just threw your deed away. Your title to what God's given you is the Word. That's, I can always go back and say, well, I know it belongs to me because this is what it said and I did it.
Amen.
It's mine. That's it. That's my title. Yeah, but! Because you're always going to have the yeah, buts around. The people who are seeing and feeling are always going to try to come to you to get you to go to the land of the seeing and feeling. Too many times we've joined them. Hallelujah. But see, you should, when you think about it all the time, you should always be saying whatever you're dealing with. It doesn't manifest instantly. You should just all the time be talking, thank God that belongs to me. I have it. That's God, that's showing up in my life. I have it. See, I learned that with money and everything, you know. I learned to be patient. I found this out about money. Money is an interesting thing. It's going to be different than healing. I can receive healing without anybody's help or any kind of thing like that. Money's different. Because money deals with other people. God ain't going to send you any bills down from heaven. God is not a counterfeiter. He told Kenneth Hagin, I'm not a counterfeiter. He don't send money down from heaven. He don't make money. He don't do anything. God uses people in the earth. That's what He does, is money. So when it comes to money and you're believing God for money, it deals, I'm going to tell you, lots of times you're going to have patience. Because God's dealing with people. So I've talked to you about this numbers of times, and I wanted to get that. If you're slow to respond to God in giving, you're going to have that same problem in receiving. You're going to find it's going to be very slow and maybe not even show up. I found out the more I'm responsive to God in my giving on the areas that He shows me to do things, I do stuff and that stuff. God will do things in me. I pull up to Turkey Hill. There's a guy standing there. And God says, go give that guy $5. I know who he is, nothing else. I've learned it. I just know I am. I've tried the ready to walk past, go inside, get something, tried to ignore that. Probably wasn't God come out, can't get in the car. I'll give the guy the money. Here, take this! Gotta get this off. Oh, it's wearing on me. I've had a number of times. I've gone places and I said, give them money. So give them money. Give somebody money. I don't know who they are. I have no idea.
Amen.
You know? And there was one thing. It isn't always the poor guy that God does it. Oh, that's amazing to Christians. They'll never get over that one. It has to be the poor guy. God would never give you to tell you to give money to some guy who got money. Oh, that's what people think.
Amen.
We can't, you don't walk by faith. You can't walk by sight.
Amen. Preach.
God tells you to do it. So why don't I go give a guy that has money and give him $5? Say, what was he going to do with $5? You know what? That's something he got a thing to do with money.
Mm-hmm.
That person may be dealing with something in their life, and all of a sudden, my God, this thing is a witness to him. Mm-hmm. God's interested in me. See, when you use your head to do this stuff, you'll always be the loser, and this stuff ain't going to work.
Preach.
You can't do that. Because sometimes you don't, it just don't make no sense. Somebody say, well, what if you're wrong? You bless somebody? Well, if it wasn't supposed to do it, how much is that going to hurt? That's what I always think about it. Kenneth Hagin said that. He said, what would be bad if you did it and it was the wrong thing to do? Would it really hurt anything? I always think about, no, that wouldn't hurt anything, so let's go do it. I'd rather walk away with a clear conscience than sit there and say, gee, I wonder if I was supposed to do that and didn't. And that. it's a good place to live. See, and I love living in this place. I love living in this realm because there's a place of satisfaction I never had before in my life.
Amen.
It came from God.
Amen.
See, God wants you to live in that place of satisfaction.
Amen.
That's why it's being led by the Spirit. It's a supernatural thing. It's not a natural thing.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
He don't always lead you in the make sense place.
That's right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
People want to have seen faith all the time, talking about being faith. I believe it shows up. I believe, yeah, boy, look what God did for me. Yeah, well, I knew it was going to happen to me. I done the day I prayed, it was on its way to me.
Amen.
Now, I said about money. Lots of times, and I've had this, money usually never comes in till right about the time. And I think it happens just to get your flesh. You know, see, because it is. With money, it's always been with me. If I believe God for money, and it'll go on. And now I've gotten used to it. It's going to come. It's coming. It's coming to me. You know, the first time I ever believed for a new car. And I just decided, you know, we're just going to believe God for a new car. So, and I was believing God for a new car. Now, I went along. You got to learn to be, see, God's dealing with people. He deals with people about things. So here I am. I believe for a new car. I'm believing the money for a new car. And I get along. And this summer, though, the summer came up. I had done this back past in the winter. And the summer came along. And it was just about, it was about maybe late spring, right towards summer. And I just kept coming to me that this is supposed to come in. And I just kept getting it. But nothing happened. It didn't come. I thought, this is really strange. And I just had a sense. But I thought, well, you know, I don't change my faith. Praise God. I got it. It belongs to me. I'm getting a new car. Hallelujah. This money. Money's coming to me, the new car. Well, the next spring, God came to me, said, yeah, he said, I'm going to take you shopping, he said, for a new car. He said, I was supposed to do it last year, but he said, I didn't obey God. So you got to learn faith and patience. You know, how do I thought it was going to be? Just stood.
And
he took me out shop and bought me a car. Stuff works.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to tell you what. I don't even go shop for cars anymore unless God's talking to me about it. Even if I want one or I need one. Because every time I have listened to God in this thing, I got great deals. He'll say to me, okay, it's time to go look. You know, the van that I got that. I was looking for one, looking around. COVID came. They shut everything down. The week they took the thing off to go buy cars, the Lord spoke to me one morning and said, go look at the cars. He spoke to me that. Because, see, he knows I was looking for a car, but I had knew what it was before. Going out and I look and look and look and I get tired of this. Look, and I just, somehow nothing's lining up on the inside. But I'm looking. So anyhow, I thought, okay, get down. Well, the car that they had there, now, the car prices went nuts after that. But I went down that week. They had sold it to me for what it was on sale for before COVID. And they sold it to me. And right after that, people were paying about $6,000-$7,000 more for that same car. God said, go down and get it. So I went down. I took that thing in about on trade, just an idea to look what it was worth. They offered me what I paid for it and that stuff with a whole bunch more miles on it. See, God knew what he's doing. Do you, see, I don't just go jump out and go look, you know. I wait till, you know, I tried it. You folks remember the truck that we got for Faith Ministries, that truck we bought that time? Okay. So, you know, those dual cabs with dualies and stuff, they're expensive. They're expensive on there. So, but anyhow, we had raised $25,000 with the church, and we were still going to raise money. And the Lord said to me, that's enough. And I thought, God ain't been shopping for these things. See, they don't use them in heaven. You won't find them on the lots up there. So I thought maybe he didn't know how much they cost. Because, you know, I just with me, I don't want to give nobody junk. I don't do that. I'm not one of these places I wear out clothing and then go put it for somebody. Worn out clothing, cut it up for rags, throw it in. Get somebody something nice.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I don't like that stuff. If, like, you know, people get clothes and they got stains in them and everything else. Well, they're poor, give them to them. Yeah, you're going to be lucky you get into heaven being so stupid. So, you know, get out of here. But anyhow, so I went out looking for a truck. I did this, and I went for a period of time looking all over the place for a truck. I couldn't even find nothing in the ballpark concerning this truck. I just, you know, you looked everywhere to look. And I got out and finally got worn out at it. And so I just said, Lord, I ain't going out looking for any truck anymore. I said, you said the 25,000, okay, let's go. So I just didn't go out, went for months, never looked, never paid no attention concerning that truck. I didn't pay any attention whatsoever. I'm just, hey, that's your baby. You turn around, told us to raise the money for it. You said how much it was. Oh, here it is. And I'm thinking, where are you going to get this truck? So one morning, I wake up early in the morning, and the Lord said, get out of bed. He said, go look for the truck today. And so I got up, and I was getting dressed and doing your little things, and I'm going to go out, I'm going to have breakfast. He said, I didn't tell you to eat breakfast. He said, I told you to look for the truck. That's what he said to me. He said, I didn't tell you, right? He said, I told you to go look for the truck. Hey, he had a purpose, and timing was everything. See, when you get over your own mind, this is one thing. These people don't listen to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but I tell you, I'm hungry this morning. I don't do well on an empty stomach. My flesh yells a lot if I don't get what it wants. So, I went out. I drive down the street. And go down through. Anyhow, I pass Bobby Gearhart's Truck World. You know, he's got Truck World. And I said, well, maybe check a Truck World. And I just pull over there and I just knew, this ain't it. So I leave there. I'm driving on 422. I know I'm supposed to be 422. I'm going down through Lebanon. And I'm thinking, where am I going? I don't know where to go look for this truck. I don't know. Now, what's the Ford dealer from Schaeferstown? They have their little place down there at the end. Keller Brothers. Yeah. Well, they have their place. What's it called? Twin Pine? Twin something or something. Oh, now it's Truck Village. Okay, back in that day, it had another name. Anyhow, they never had, I looked at times in there with them, they never had nothing. They didn't have anything. So I'm driving down there, God says, go into there. I just knew it's like, I drive in the lot, and there ain't nothing there. Ain't a truck on the lot. There's nothing there. Well, you know Ed's missed it. I park in the lot. They ain't even open yet, but a guy walks out the door. And he comes walking out through and he said, hi, he said, what you looking for? And I told him. And he looked at me and he said, I have your truck. He said, you got to see this. He said, a guy bought a new truck over at Keller Brothers. He turned this one in. He said, and he was right, this thing's beautiful. It's like it ain't been driven much, and it wasn't. He had a truck that was a couple years old, but you'd have never thought that thing. I mean, the truck was, the outside was perfect. I mean, it was nothing. No scratches, nothing on that thing. Thing's looking good. He said, I got a truck inside here. And I walked in and here sits this, big Ford pickup. It's got, it is looking. He said, now we haven't touched it yet. And I walk inside and my God, it's perfect already. They didn't touch and clean it. And this thing's just beautiful. They're sitting there. And I'm looking around it. And he said, well, what do you think? I said, man, it's got all the stuff on it. I mean, it ain't the bottom line on the truck. You know, it's like, my God, that's what a missionary ought to have. This is what they need. This is the truck. And the guy said, what do you think it's worth? And I just told him, I said, what I'm doing here, I said, our church raised $25,000. I said, that's what we got. I said, it's going to a missionary in Mexico. I mean, we did a long speech. Just told him that. And the guy said to me, he turned around and thought, he said, I'll take it. They got the ambulance and hauled me off and picked me up off the floor and carried me out of the place. I'm looking at this. It had to be God, because you wouldn't normally sell that truck for that price. You just wouldn't do it. But see, this is about led by the Spirit. This is a life of faith. Amen. Walking in what you don't see. This is the law of faith in action. This is how this stuff works. It ain't on just the asking side. Boy, listening on the inside, just taking those steps of faith. You know, like I put in the bullet there, Martin Luther King Jr. said, he said, faith is taking the first step down a staircase and you can't even see the bottom of it. That's what I was doing. I was taking steps going across town. I couldn't see the bottom of nothing. I didn't know what was. I knew I was going to fall into a black hole. I didn't know what was going to happen. But God had it all set up. He had it set up. He said, this guy just pulled, he pulled in last, we got to pull in here last night, and he took his other new truck, and this pulled in, and here it sits, and we got it.
Hallelujah.
It was like, wow. That's God. He's done that for me. You know, sometimes there are certain things that I had desire for a certain car. I had a desire for a certain car. And God had a different idea for me. And, you know, and God was right. A certain thing I wanted. But I went to, when I went a lot and was looking around. The guy, now here, see, he's being used by God. He keeps telling me this other, he said, you ought to take that car for a drive. And I'm looking over at this one. See? Hey, no, just don't bug me. I'm over here. See, I know what I'm doing. See, I'm over here looking at this car. He said, you ought to take that car for a drive. This guy, I know what it is. Now, he's a Mennonite guy. I knew he didn't have no idea, but he's being used by God. See, many times you can even be unconsciously led by the Spirit. You can do it. He keeps telling me, go look at that car. I said, oh, that car. So I finally, okay, I'll take that car for a drive. I took the car for a drive, got in and drove down the road about 100 yards and said, I'm supposed to buy this car. I just knew it. This is the car I'm supposed to buy. I walked back and he told me what he would sell that to me for. I almost fell over. He said, if you want that, I'll give it to you for this if you'll take it. It had 8,000 miles on it. Completely warranted. If I would have bought it off the showroom, I'd have paid probably about $12,000 more for that car than I paid for it. He said, if you'll take that. He said, well, God's trying to get me a deal, but I thought, you know, I want to do this other way. See, God wants to bless you, even when you don't know what's going on. He'll try to use his other people. This is why you go out of this life of faith. It isn't about all you know and all. You know. Man, I tell you, because the walk of faith is about God moving us into what don't seem the natural to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I love this life.
Amen.
I love it. I love doing it. You know, I like with me, it gets inside of me. You know, I'm going to want to replace my van here, but you know, I'm going to tell you what, I'm just waiting. God will show me. I just, well, Lord, you'll show me. There's a time, there's things you have you want to set in motion, and hallelujah. When I'm ready, I'll tell him, okay, I want to do it. Along the line, he'll show me. He'll show me what time to go. You know, he tells me, okay, time to go look for that thing you wanted. See, we are the, and I've learned, see, I might have the money to go do it. But I'm going to tell you what, the only blessing you might get is from you. It's no more wonderful to me than I know I went and bought a car. God led me to, I can look at that car and say, God led me to that thing. God did. Hallelujah. See, I got a witness in my life. God's interested in me. Hallelujah. I don't have to listen to everybody else's story. I got stories.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because God's personal with me. And it's the same way. Deal with God in the same manner as that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't always make sense. What you think you need right away, things I thought I needed right away, I'm so glad I waited. I was patient. Just let God work some things out for me. When it's all over and done, it's like, oh, wow. I thought, you know, I was able to make it through all that, and it didn't, you know, it didn't kill me. It just didn't. But God had set it for me. And I just want you want to have a relationship with God like that, where He's in your life personally. When you talk about personal relationship, you know, it's like me, I've heard people say that to me, God wants to have a personal relationship. And I think, and I always think, as the average person tells me, and I think, gee, when you get one, let me know. Because I can see you ain't got it.
No.
You don't have it. See, personally, just like you build in relationships with people, it's the same way with God.
Amen.
Personal
Amen.
Relationship. He deals with you, dealing with you.
Amen.
Not the other guy, dealing with you. He knows you. He created you. Did you ever think about this? God in creation. You know, we talk about, you know, and divine healing and all this stuff. When God created man in the earth, God put in man, in his own body, an immune system to heal things. God did. You think God just jumps over that thing? God put it inside of us. See, lots of times people, when they come, they want healed of a thing and just go back. You know, get God dealing with your immune system. What's wrong with you? He created a system inside of us for our bodies to be able to do things. Now, did you think about this? He put that in Adam and Eve before they sinned. Did he make a mistake when he was created? See, I think about this kind of stuff. You know, when I think about it, I look back and think, and say, God put him in music. He created this body. People say, this body is glorious. We keep treating it like it ain't. Oh, we got a good God to keep it working. He put something in us to help keep it working. And then he put the Holy Spirit in us as Christians to make alive our mortal bodies. You know, lots of times he does it through just our immune system and operating and that kind of stuff. See, my immune system, I get around people all the time that have flu, colds, all kinds of stuff. Don't get them.
Amen. Preach.
Wow, my immune system works really well.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It's created by God, dear Lord. The Holy Ghost is quickening it, making it alive, making it working. It's the way He created me to be. He created us to be around things. Our body could take care of it. Hallelujah. Well, see, you can get lopsided in anything in teaching. You get over the immune system side too far. You get divine healing, or people get over too far. So you got to learn. I've already learned this thing. God made my body to be able to take care of some things. He designed it. Hallelujah. Let's believe that. Let's believe that things are working. Hallelujah. Well, if I get around over here and I get around, well, I'll tell you, watch out. You might end. You know, get around. No, I'll tell you, my immune system works good. You know, they tested me concerning COVID and found out. I thought maybe, you know, because some people got COVID and they never knew it, you know, and happened. I thought, well, maybe. Well, they tested me and said, nah, you ain't ever had it. And I've been to all the places they said, don't go when you, they said, I thought, hey, God's saying, go, you go, you know. You know, I'll lay hands on the leper. God tells you to do that, you lay hands on the leper. Why? Hallelujah. It ain't getting on me. My immune system is working real good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God's Word. See, people get in this fear of things. You ain't going to lay hands on the sick if you're scared of getting sick.
Right.
You're going to surely, you're going to be more worried about whether or not you're going to get something laying hands on them than you are. Well, you know, I mean, people get around them and say, well, don't come over here. Me, I got a cold. I'll be right over. That's the devil. Ah, the devil says, don't get over here. I'll get it on you. I'll be over. See if he can do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, we got to lose these fears of these things. We're talking about, this is a life of faith.
Amen.
We walk like God's real. Hallelujah. It blesses your life.
Hallelujah.
Takes all the fears out.
Amen.
See, and as a sinner, as one just an angry person, always wanting to fight, always wanting to do something. And you know what it was all based off? Fears.
Mm-hmm.
Angry people are mostly fearful. That's why they're so mad. Life's closing in on you. Life is there. And they're running around in fear. So that's what it is, dealing with fear. I was dealing with the spirit of fear. Dominated me and ruled me. When I got saved, that left. It's like, what a relief. I had not known for years not to have fear. I wasn't afraid.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a nice thing.
Amen.
Many Christians yield to fear. You didn't have anybody fearful that ain't tense. That ain't got, I always was. Fear just, it grips you and it just does things to you. And even you don't like it. Well, I tell you, when fear tries to get on me, it's like, nuh-uh, we ain't going that path. I ain't going back to that place again. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like, I refuse to be afraid. See, I watch the things with, you look at happen. Look what the fear of COVID did to our nation, how things have turned out. Our government is a shambles. The country's a shambles from it. The fear of a disease. And we found out that a lot of that fear was just blown up. Men's fears kept saying and agreeing and kept doing this thing and drove this thing to the mess we're in now. I just encourage you, don't join the club.
Amen.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't join the fear club. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry or be afraid. You're a child of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, I'm a child of God, living or dying. It don't matter. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Get that within yourself as you lose that fear, hallelujah, things. You would be amazed what would spark in your faith when you lose fear.
Amen.
Because fear will always put a cap on your faith. And I always put a cap on it. You only go, well, what if I do this? You know, well, I missed it here. Now, what about everything will come back to a fear. Okay, I missed it. Like, poor dumb old me and that stuff. It tries to, well, see, I'm not smart enough. I'm not this. And it'll always try to lead you to those things that diminish faith.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't care if you missed it, how much you missed it. Hallelujah. You repent. You step back up in front. You go to the throne of grace and you receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what you do. You step there and say, okay, Lord, you know what I need? I need grace. Hallelujah. I need your ability working in my life. That's what I need. Hallelujah. And that's why I'm here, because you're going to work in me. Hallelujah. I'm going to step up higher. I'm going higher. We're not going down. We're going up. We're not going to end up with less. We're going to end up with more. Hallelujah. I'm going to have more victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to have more power working through me. That's what I'm going to do. Because that's the plan of God. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. If you miss it, run to Daddy right away.
Amen.
I tell you, my kids always knew, no matter what, they could come to me. You know, I might not agree with them and things and stuff, but they could always come.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They can always come to you. See, your daddy said, you know, you don't need mercy if you've done things right. What would you need mercy for? You don't need mercy. If you've done good, you don't need mercy. Say, we come to mercy and find grace. Why? When you miss it, run to Daddy, get it fixed.
Amen.
Then the next step is grace. Woo-hoo! Grace, God's ability that works in your behalf. That's what it is. It's God's power in your life is grace. Hallelujah, to overcome, to live victorious. And that's what God has a plan for you. Stand to your feet today. Hallelujah. God's plan for you is victory. God's plan for you today is victory. Hallelujah. Whatever you're facing, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what happened before or what goes on. Today is the day of salvation. That word salvation is the same word as healing, deliverance, whatever it is. It's today. It ain't yesterday.
Amen.
It's today. See, living salvation today. I got salvation today. Hallelujah. Yeah, I might have missed it over here in India, but I'll tell you what I got today. Hallelujah. Today's the day of faith. Today I believe. Today I take hold. I may have missed it, but it don't matter. Throw it under the bus. My yesterdays don't matter.
Amen.
My faith can change my future.
Grace,
your faith changes your future. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't let your past be the drag. Don't let it be the anchor that you throw in back of you that you're trying to drag along the anchor in your life. I'm going to tell you what, break that chain. Hallelujah. Throw that anchor overboard. Take faith and go to flight. Hallelujah. That's what you do.
Amen.
Faith will make you soar like an eagle.
Right.
Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named. Not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It's not just victory in our time here. It's victory in the future to come. Hallelujah. That's what your faith is.
Amen.
Glory to God. So let's walk by that faith today. Hallelujah. Take a hold today with yourself. Take a hold wherever you might have missed it. I don't know what it is with you or whatever your need might be. Hallelujah. Make your request be known to God. Ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open unto him. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Hallelujah. That's what he said. Well, did he lie about it? Hallelujah. Did he say, well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. No, Jesus never said such a thing. Hallelujah. Why? He is the inspirer of your faith. Hallelujah. He came to build your faith. He came to tell you that you can trust Daddy, that my name is in such of authority that if you ask Dad anything in it, he'll give it to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you today. Father, each one of us have different things in different areas of our life that we're dealing with. Different things, Lord, that we're doing. And hallelujah. Lord, sometimes we feel challenges with people. But hallelujah, Lord God, Lord, we need strength to be able to deal with ourselves in these situations that might be, you know, waiting on us. Lord God, as many Christians, Lord God, out here today, I feel so sorry for them. The weight of the problems of the nation and everything going on, it weighs on them. And Lord God, what the weight is on them is their response to what's happening. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we want to be changed, that we have a response of faith and not a response, Lord God, of some kind of just anger, mad about things going on, or, oh, things are just so terrible and so bad. Lord God, we don't want to live in that place. Hallelujah. We want to live in the place of faith. Hallelujah. Lord God, the good work that you started in us, you're able to bring it to completion. Hallelujah. Lord, the devil doesn't have the say over our lives. Hallelujah. We've given the say over our lives to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You're our King. You're our Lord. Hallelujah. You will lead us in paths of righteousness for your namesake. Hallelujah. That's what you will do. And we will walk in them. And I just thank you today, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you today. There's a quickening in hearts today. There's a quickening on the inside. That faith is rising up, hallelujah, on the inside. Lord God, that hearts are reaching out. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that they tie their voices to their hearts today and speak those things, those desires of their hearts, instead of speaking of what's going on around them, speaking out those things, hallelujah. That the things that they desire, saying those things, hallelujah, believing they receive those things, Father God. And I thank you, Lord God, they'll have it in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you. There's going to be great victory coming out starting this day for ones. There's great victory that starts today. Great victory. Great victory starts. Hallelujah. Not some little thing. Supernatural is going to step on board today. Hallelujah. Supernatural. Because we're the church of Jesus Christ and it is a supernatural church. It is not natural. It does not operate by natural means. It operates by the power of God. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you. Your power is great working through us. Grace is mighty in us today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you. Life is working in bodies today. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. He's not the thief. Hallelujah. So you have life working in you today. Life is working mightily. Life. Hallelujah. Your mind's clear in the name of Jesus. Your understanding, hallelujah, is in the divine realm and in the divine nature. You can see and understand things, hallelujah, supernaturally. You can comprehend. The word is easy to grasp a hold of, easy to understand. Quick to believe. Quick to believe. Hallelujah. Quick to believe. Hallelujah. With no doubt. No doubt. And I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. The things they believe and say are coming to pass. They're working mightily in them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I just say thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, I'm just so grateful. Father, I thank you for this message today because I needed it. Hallelujah. I needed this thing. Hallelujah. Lord, I needed to get my voice behind this today. I just need, hallelujah. Lord God, strength in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you see way ahead of time what we need. What we need to hear. What we need to do. I just thank you. You're so gracious to us. So good to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Father, I thank you. You didn't put anybody down today. Hallelujah. You're lifting everybody up. You're setting everybody up. Hallelujah. Lord God, the bar is not too high to reach. Hallelujah. The bar is not too high to reach. Hallelujah. Lord God, you take us step by step by step. Hallelujah. You lead us. Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you. You want to work in each one here, Lord God, to raise the level of their faith. You're going to be showing them what to do. Hallelujah. Where to walk. You're going to show them. There's things specifically that they need to know, and you're going to reveal it to them in the name of Jesus because of what they're dealing with in their life. I just thank you, Holy Spirit. You're wonderful. You treat us. We're not just some big group. Hallelujah. Yet we are. We're a house built together, but you deal with us individually. Amen. Oh, and I'm so thankful. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for especially being so patient and kind. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you have just brought us along and brought us along and led us kindly. Sometimes you had to drag us along. But nonetheless, you continually reveal your great goodness and mercy of Jesus Christ to us. Hallelujah. Jesus, I'm so glad to have you, Lord. I'm so glad to have one who rules over me. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, one who knows everything. Amen. Is not limited to my abilities. But have made my limitations in your ability. Hallelujah. Lord God, walking in you, it throws off all limitations. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just thank you for it today. Thank you for today. Hallelujah. 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 Health working in your bodies today in the name of Jesus. Healing in your bodies today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The healing power of God's here in this place, right here in this place, right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just receive it. See, what you believe you receive, it says you'll have it. You believe you receive it. See, you believe He gives it to you today. You ask. Use your voice and say, yeah, hallelujah. Pray the prayer of faith. Father, I just want to thank you for giving me healing in my body today in the name of Jesus. I believe I have it. Thank you so much for healing me. I'm so glad you've healed me in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to look for healing anymore. I have it. I ain't going to look for it anymore. I have it. Hallelujah. I got it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Learn to get those things on your voice. Amen. The power of your voice. That's why the Tower of Babel, God did it, the whole thing. Changed voice. Your voice. The power of your voice. People don't use their voice enough. That's the problem. Sitting around thinking prayers and doing it? No. Whatever you ask when you pray. What are you asking for? Say it with your mouth. Release. That's releasing your faith. Releasing the path. He didn't say, if you think about that mountain over there, you want to move, go to see. Just give a thought. Give happy thoughts. No, you got to say that. See, I learned it over the years. I've talked to storms and I've talked to all kinds of things. I've done things. I've done all kinds of things where I've done, seen it work. What my voice would do. Trust in God. What your voice will do. Changing things. Changing things in the natural. I'll bring that up. You know, Charles Capps. This one thing is you learn to need to learn to guard your what you say. Because as you grow in areas of faith, you need to watch and you will use your voice because things you say have come to pass and you say things. He learned it in an experience. His parents lived beside there's some people. They lived out in the country where there was a house right beside right near them. And his parents and these people moved into this house. It was rented by a guy, rented it and put it up for rent. And these people moved in and they were nothing but problems. I mean, these people were, you know, day and night partying and, you know, and all kind of crazy stuff and doing everything. And it was just driving his parents crazy because at nighttime they couldn't sleep and there's all kind of things going on. These people are doing all kind of crazy stuff. And Charles Capps said he was talking to his parents about that. And, you know, this was back in the days, you know, sort of like today, but really, you know, the police wouldn't do a whole lot about people doing a lot of stuff, you know, back in those days. And certain things, and today they don't either. But anyhow, they had Charles Capps. He said he's always parents were talking to him about there's things going on and how, man, it's just noise and loud all the time and things going on. And he just turned around and said, that place needs to burn down. Next day, it burnt to the ground. He said he got a revelation at that time, the power of what you say when you get to the place. So that's why Jesus didn't go running his mouth. See, one of the things that many people don't work in faith are too frivolous in the things they talk about. So you can get to the place of the power of your faith. You say things, they'll come to pass, good and bad. Now, he said that really worked out good for his parents, but he said he learned a thing about the power of his voice. He learned the thing about the power of his voice. He said he learned you just don't up and just say things. See, there's people, sinners, who have a very powerful voice. They can say things and bring things because over time they've learned. They're operating out of their spirits. See, we need to know. See, there's certain things about this. This is why, you know, I wasn't going to say that. In fact, the Lord had brought that to me this morning, and I thought, yeah, but he wanted that brought out. See, we need to. The church has been very childish about the faith area. It's because people, and the reason it has, is because people don't have personal relationship. They don't really learn to know God well. And you're not going to get a lot of revelation if you don't learn to know God well. Revelation comes because of your fellowship with him. That's where it comes from. Amen. You fellowship, the Holy Spirit reveals.
Amen.
That's what he does. Yes. And there's because there's things about, you know, in the areas of faith, there's things that we need to know concerning about this law of faith. It is a hugely powerful, powerful thing. Jesus said you can talk to mountains. Now, if you can't get anything changed in your life, you know, don't go talking to mountains. Dear God, you know. You got to understand where you're coming from. Jesus set a bar. That's what he did. He set a bar. He said, you go this far. It's like Jesus spoke to the tree and it died. And he said, hey, you guys say this mountain. He said, this stuff will obey you. Jesus didn't go around just talking to mountains. He didn't talk frivolously about things. If there would have been a need to do so, he would have done it. But wasn't a need to do so. See, we need to get this in our mind about things. You know, it's like with healing. Healing is a thing in the Bible that tells you it belongs to us. You're allowed to have that and get that anytime you want it. Scripture's clear on the subject. But there's some things, you got to use some sense about you know. You know, there's people out here, and you know, it's like, they don't want to believe for, I want 10 Mercedes and that stuff, and you know, they're out there doing stuff. Usually people do that, they don't know very little about faith, they don't, you know, it's just somebody told them you could do something about faith, and so they say something stupid and start. You don't want to get into that kind of stuff, because faith becomes a frivolous thing to you. It's not what it is. I was fortunate enough to sit under a teaching of an individual who taught, you know, faith was about a place you mature to, and you, it's not something that's just frivolously thrown out there, and it's just you frivolously do it and that kind of stuff. And you want to have that. It's just in life. You know, we have too many, you know, people say, yeah, we have freedom to have guns, but we got too many nuts with guns too. There should be a maturity that a person has one. And there's people who can legally have them who shouldn't have them. We have every year hunters firing guns over toward our area. Every year. Oh, they're going out there. We're allowed to have our guns and we're going out. They shoot into areas they ain't supposed to be shooting. You always give them nuts. You know, they don't care about anybody else. It's, you know, it's my freedom. When I have freedom, you don't have none. Woo! Hallelujah. It's good preaching stuff. You know, touch over these areas about things and, you know. And I know it don't go along with a lot of people. You know, everybody ought to have a gun at once. No, I'm sorry about that. I was in the army with guys I wish wouldn't have had a gun. You don't give them a gun. So, hallelujah. Well, before we go this morning, we're going to take an offering. For those who like, this is not a push of anybody. You know, this is just if you'd like to do it, you'd like to give Mike an offering. I'm just doing it. I just appreciate his gift. What I want to do, see, I feel my heart. I don't feel to tell you, you have to do it. See, I want you to understand this. Don't you feel obligated that you have to do it. This is one of those just want to things if you want to, if it's in your heart. I just appreciate. Mike feels it for me. I appreciate his gift and I just want to honor that gift. That's me personally. That's what I just want to honor that gift. That's what I'm doing. And so, you know, Wanda and I are planning some things concerning that for her. We're going to do personally that we want to do because I just appreciate Mike. And over the years, been a very good friend. We've known Mike for years and that stuff. And before him and Darlene were married and stuff, and we know Mike. He was a great help to me from having a fellowship of faith with someone because when we got in the church that we were into, we got into it together. God sent me there supernaturally because I wouldn't have naturally gone. And anyhow, he sent me there and Mike was really such a help of encouragement for somebody that we could talk the same language. You need that. Hallelujah. You need somebody that you can talk the same language to. It's always good to be able to have that. Hallelujah. So as you give today, hallelujah. I want you to be cheerful givers. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Lord, I just appreciate Mike so much. And I appreciate he has been a faithful servant all these years, Lord, following you. And there's times we've been in churches together and not different times. And yeah, they were in a different church and working. But Lord God, he's always been faithful towards you. They've always followed after you and him and Darlene. And I'm just so appreciative of that, Lord God. And Lord, we just want their lives to be blessed. And they are blessed. But Lord God, we want to be blessed even more. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want you to bring things into their path, Lord God. Open doors for them, Father God. Lord, because I just want to see those faithful people because, Lord God, they're such a blessing to the whole body, not just to themselves in life. They're a blessing to the whole body. And we want, Lord God, I know their desires and their hunger in life to do more, Lord God, for you. So we thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Good Lord, you gave him the gift that you put in him. It's not the gift of man. You did it. Lord God, I want to thank you for gifting him. Lord, I thank you that I have him to fill in, that he can fill in. I appreciate, Lord God, of his gifts bless me. And I just appreciate that. And so we thank you, Lord, as we give today. We do it with great rejoicing. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. I sort of fired up today, but the anointing's been on me since last week to minister this thing. The anointing kept coming on me it's like I came this morning. It's like I got to get this thing out. It's like whoo, this thing keeps going in me. Hallelujah. It's somewhat different. My notes were so these, but hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is moving, and I just, you know. With Randall Greer says this all the time. He says, God's on our side. You need to keep that in you. God is on our side. He's not against us. It can sometimes seem hard today because voices, and even in the Christian world, are saying things I wish they wouldn't be saying. God's on your side. What
would you do if he's against you? What chance would you have? What chance do you have? If God's against you, what chance would you have? I can only think of him as being good in spite of me.
Amen.
He's never going to be there. So keep yourself encouraged. Keep yourself in that place of walking where you keep yourself on fire. No, don't let anybody preach or anything come to you, the idea that God's working, trying to keep you in some kind of mess that you're in. Don't allow that to happen to you.
Amen.
Don't allow that. God's trying to work something out in me. Why? Beating you up? That really works good. Beat the snot out of you. Hey, I want to teach my kids. We want to send them to school. They beat them a lot there. That's what they do. They'll learn a lot. Hallelujah. God's good. So always keep that. Amen.
It's too much tough for you guys, and that happened to us yesterday. Okay. Yes, Alan and I went to the store, and we went shopping, and I had a ski jacket on. It had two pockets, and I had a pair of pants on that had two pockets. They were so small, you couldn't really carry anything. In one pocket, I had my cell phone, and in the other pocket, I had my wallet. And so we went into the store, and we had our things, and we were at checkout. And I said to Alan, did you get yada, yada, yada? He said, no, I forgot. The lady had the stuff in the bag, and I had gotten my wallet out. I put the chip card in the chip reader, and she said, okay, I'll suspend it. You guys can go get what you need. So we go and get what we need, and we come back up to check out now the second time. I have no wallet. My wallet's gone. So we went back in the aisle where we were, and we looked to see if I laid it down, and she said, you laid a pink wallet on the counter. They checked somebody out in the meeting company. There was a young man that had just started that day, and he stayed at the counter while the lady went to help us find it. We knew that she actually left with us. And so he was standing there the whole time. He said, I didn't see anybody take anything, but we did check somebody out. So we did our looking. I was literally down on the ground under the shelves, you know, looking for my wallet. And we didn't say anything, we just looked. We went outside, and Alan said, sometimes if someone takes your wallet and they see there's no cash, and he said, Sherry, did you have any cash? And I said, I didn't. He said, a lot of times they'll just chuck it, you know. So we checked in the waste cans, and we walked, and Maria was there. She's in her little wheelchair, and she's pushing across the parking lot looking. So she went and asked the neighboring two stores. It was like a little strip mall where they had any cameras. I went back inside. I said, two folks have any cameras? No, but we do have the name of a lady that checked out after you. We have her name because she had a, you know how you can get like a discount if you have a card or whatever. So, but all our cameras are broken. Her cameras are broken. I said, okay, that's all right. That's it. You know, your mind wants to be like, oh my gosh, one more thing. That's not going in the right direction. You know, so my mouth said, that's all right. That's okay that you don't have. And so while we were walking the parking lot, I went over to the car. I got this feeling I should look in the car, but I didn't have the keys. And I don't know why. I even laughed at myself. I pulled on the thing and couldn't get in. And I like knocked on the window like somebody was going to open the door. Right? So one of the ladies suggested, I would suggest you would call the police and let them know. Oh, I said, should I? Yeah, you should call the police. So we called the police, but long story short, we got everything done we needed to do, and we went out to the car, and Alan said, I just know we're going to find that wallet. And we put the diaper bags in and everything in, and I sat in my seat, and I don't even know why, but I dug between us, and I lifted the diaper bag up, and what was in our car? My wallet was sitting in the car. I tell you, we were not in that car. Mm-hmm. It was locked. We had not come out of that store,
Amen.
But we saw a pink wallet on that countertop. I had my card in the chip reader out of that wallet, and the wallet was sitting in our vehicle. I kid you not. I have a wallet. It's all intact. There was
Hallelujah.
Right down my chapstick in the wallet, and my wallet was in the car.
Well, now that's hard to believe. I believe God's big, but I don't know if he can do that. That's pretty far out there.
And, you know,
thank you, Lord.
A lot of that is attested to the fact that we didn't freak out. We didn't run around. Oh my gosh, my wallet! Now my wallet's gone. Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! You know.
Yeah.
And we just held it together and kept our mouth in line.
Hallelujah!
And there it was. Amen. So I didn't have to call any credit card companies. Just like.
Amen.
Ah. Isn't that good? That is. See, the next one thing, we need to, there must be an expectation within us for the supernatural. You can't walk by faith and live any kind of victorious faith life if you can't believe outside the natural. Of naturally things being done. That things would come. You know, like Randy Greer would always say this. He said, if I need money, he said, if God has to send a hound dog with a paper bag with the money, and he said, he'll do it. He said, he's going to do it. He said, don't worry, God's going to do it. But you know what? He says that sounds funny. But you know what? That's the kind of guy he is. See, don't limit yourself in what you think God can do, what God's able to do, you know, as keep yourself. You should expect God. You know, God just didn't open the Red Sea for the children of Israel.
Amen.
See, we always look at that, oh, boy, to live back then. Why? Because we've had the faith taken out of us lots of times. You know, well, God don't do this and God don't do that. No, He does the supernatural. Hallelujah. If I need the Red Sea open, it will be opened. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Whatever has to be done. See, we need to get that expectation back. Let me just say this. When I came into the kingdom back in the early 80s, when you went to meetings, people just believed God was going to move.
Uh-huh.
Totally different today. You've got to coach a crowd into it. People don't just, it's hard for people today just to believe. People go, and we were loads of baby Christians. But you know what? We didn't have time to have unbelief put in us. We came in the kingdom. God was moving there, teaching. We just thought God would do something. We just thought there'd be miracles, and there were. I mean, Wanda and I saw more miracles and that stuff starting off in our Christianity. More supernatural things happened. But we were just stupid. I thought it was supposed to be that way. We didn't. Nobody ever told us it wasn't. We just thought the supernatural was supposed to be there. But over time, I watch people wane away from it. They get away from it. They know the principles, but, you know, they slowly hear people teaching things. Well, you know, God doesn't always do things like this anymore. And He doesn't do. I'm sorry. I don't know that God.
Amen.
You need a miracle?
Amen.
You're allowed to believe for one.
Hallelujah.
Think about what God said. If two agree. Now, it's written in Scripture. Jesus said, if two agree is by touching anything they ask. It shall be anything. Anything that they ask. Two agree on it. Now, what? They agree what in their heart and what they're saying. If they're not agreeing both on the same thing, it ain't going to work. You know, people want to agree with me. Agree with what? Well, agree with me, you know, that God's going to heal me. I can't believe that. I believe He already did.
Amen.
You agree that you're healed? I can agree with you. But God's going to heal you? Well, what does that mean? When's that going to happen? When are you going to receive it? Well, you can't receive something you don't believe you got yet.
Amen.
See, we're reaching down the road. Let's keep doing it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have a miracle, hallelujah, expect another one tomorrow.
Hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah. Miracles. That's the way God is.